Narayana Namaskritya Narunchayavam Narutamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tatojaya Rudirayat Nashta Prayesu Badresu Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya Bhagavata Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So thank you for being on the call today. And I would also like to thank Shyamrasika Mataji for such impeccable service that she's been giving over the months. And as she explained to you, this is a continuation of the talk between Maharaj Nimi and Navayugendras, who are sons of Maharaj Rishabhadev. Maharaj Rishabhadev is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this morning, the text is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 39. 11.2.39. And this is a continuation of the response by Sri Kavi, one of the nine Yogendras, to the question, what is the highest good? Maharaj Nimi asked them nine questions, and the first question is, what is the highest good? And the answer started from 11.2.33, and now we are at 11.2.39. So, the text is, Shinvasu Bhadra Niratanga Pane Janmani Karmani Chayani Loke Gitani Namani Tad Atakani Gayan Vilajo Vichare Rasanga. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. An intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear should give up all attachment to material objects such as wife, family, nation, and should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, the bearer of the chariot wheel. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe his transcendental birth and activities which he performs within this world for the salvation of the conditioned souls. Thus, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Since the holy names, forms, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unlimited, no one can hear or chant about all of them. Therefore, the word Loke indicates that one should chant the holy names of the Lord that are well known on this particular planet. Within this world, Lord Ram and Lord Krishna are very famous. Their books, Ramayana and Bhagavad Gita, are studied and relished all over the world. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is gradually becoming famous all over the world, as he himself predicted. Pritiviti acheyata nagradi gama sarvatra prachara haibe mora nama. In every town and village on this earth, the glories of my name will be chanted. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyakanda 4.126. Therefore, in conformity with the authorized statement of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna Consciousness Movement emphasizes the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, along with the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadarha, Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda. According to Srila Swami, this blissful process of chanting the holy names of the Lord without any material conception is called Sugama Margam, a very enjoyable path. Similarly, Lord Krishna has described the process of Bhakti Yoga as Shushukam Kartum, very joyfully performed. And Srila Lokchana Das Thakur has sung Sava Avatar Saras Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process for worshipping Krishna is Keval Ananda Kanda, simply joyful. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada stated that people in any part of the world can assemble, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, read from authorized books such as the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and accept Krishna Prasad sumptuously, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did in Navadvip. To be successful in this program, however, Narottam Das Thakur has warned Vishaya Chadiya. One must give up material sense gratification. If one indulges in material sense gratification, surely he will be in the bodily concept of life. One who is in the bodily concept of life will undoubtedly have a materialistic understanding of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, by considering the Lord's pastimes mundane, one will come within the category of Mayavad, or impersonalism, in which one considers the transcendental body of the Lord to be a creation of material nature. Therefore, the word Asanga in this verse is very significant. One must chant the holy name of the Lord without mental speculation. One must accept Lord Krishna as he presents himself in Bhagavad Gita, wherein he states that he alone is Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that his transcendental form is eternal. Ajopi San Abhyayatma. Srila Jiva Goswami has emphasized Yani Shastra Dwara Sat Parampara Dwara Cha Loke Gitani Janmani Karmani Cha Tani Shrinvan Gayamscha. If one wants to be successful in chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, one must adopt the process as it is coming down in the Sat Parampara, the transcendental disciplic succession. And the Sat Parampara can be identified by reference to the bona fide Vedic scriptures. Contrary to the opinion of uninformed critics, the followers of Krishna consciousness are not mindless or fanatical. They intelligently follow the system of checks and balances called Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That is, one must accept a bona fide spiritual master who must in turn be confirmed by the opinion of great saintly persons and revealed scriptures. If one accepts a bona fide spiritual master, follows the example of great saintly persons, and becomes conversant with authorized literature such as Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, one's program of chanting the holy names of the Lord and hearing about the Lord's pastimes will be completely successful. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, shloka 9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatpata jatva deham puna janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains by eternal abode, O Arjuna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has stated that throughout the world, the Supreme Lord is known by many names, some of them expressed in vernacular language, but any name used to indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, beyond the influence of material nature, can be accepted as a holy name of God according to this verse. That is indicated by the word Loke. One should not misinterpret the word Vicharet. One should wonder. Vicharet means one should wonder. And one should not interpret the word to mean that while chanting the holy names of Krishna, One may go anywhere or engage in any activity without discrimination. Therefore, it is stated, Vicharet Asanga, one may wander freely, but at the same time, one must strictly avoid the association of those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness or who are engaged in sinful life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated, Asat Sangha Tyag Evaishnava Achar. A Vaishnava is known by his complete avoidance of all mundane association. In the course of traveling and chanting the glories of the Lord, a Vaishnava preacher finds a submissive non-devotee who is willing to hear about Krishna. The preacher will always give his merciful association to such a person. But a Vaishnava should strictly avoid those who are not interested in hearing about Krishna. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those who do not engage in hearing the astonishing pastimes and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who do not relish the pastimes, the Lord's pastimes, are simply executing mundane illusory activities or indulging in false materialistic renunciation. Frustrated living entities sometimes take to dry impersonalism and avoid the descriptions of the Supreme Personality of the Supreme Lord's eternal name, form, qualities, entourage, and pastimes. But if one gains the association of a pure devotee, one gives up the path of dry speculative argument and becomes situated on the actual Vedic path of devotional service to the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said the word dvaita or duality, that it expresses the false understanding that some object has a substantial existence independent of Krishna. The Mayavad conception of Advaita, which lacks any spiritual distinctions, is simply another manifestation of the mind's function of acceptance and rejection. The eternal pastimes and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead never contradict the concept of Advaita Jnana, transcendental knowledge beyond duality. Oma Gina Timirandasya Gyana Gina Shilakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Swaha Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Deva, Sri Radha Krishna Pada, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate. Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasunibhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadishitarini. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gura Chiche Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himagya Divyachya Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Rasa Padaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So the text again is Sinvasu badrani ratangafane Janmani karmani chayani loke Itani namani tad atakani Kayan vilajo vichareda sangha. Translation: an intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear should give up all attachments to material objects such as wife, family, and nation, and should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, the bearer of the chariot wheel. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe his transcendental birth and activities, which he performs within this world for the salvation of the conditioned souls. Thus, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. Hare Krishna. So this is the continuation of the response by Sri Kavi. And the first sentence that he brings up is, an intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear. So an intelligent person who has controlled his mind is implying here that a person who controls his mind, doesn't let the mind do whatever it wants, is already an intelligent person. Because that's the only way to fix the mind in Krishna consciousness. The mind tends to roam different places. And Sri Kavi also says, the one who has conquered fear. Now the reason the concept is there, conquering fear, is because in the previous text, that is in the previous statement, Sri Kavi made the point that one who takes the devotional service eventually becomes fearless. Krishna consciousness and the chanting as it is in this Yuga Dharma, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is extremely potent. The mantra itself is extremely potent because, as Lord Chaitanya explains, Sri Krishna has invested all his energies in the holy name. Krishna is the controller of all there is and the creator of all there is. So if his holy name has all his energy in them and we chant and connect with them sincerely, the holy names of the Lord, then Krishna controls fear. Therefore, if we're connected through the chanting of the holy name, we also would be fearless, taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is why Sri Kavi started this by saying, an intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear, then he says what to do. That person should give up all attachment to material objects, such as wife, family, and nation. So, Sri Kavi is saying, that intelligent person should give up all attachment to material objects, such as wife, family, and nation. So why mention wife, when the wife is closest to the husband, or spouse for that matter, one to the other? When a wife is, and again, before he said that, he says material objects. So he was thinking of a wife in a material sense. In Krishna consciousness, the wife is not thought of in material sense. Therefore, as Sri Prabhupada says, the wife is to assist the husband in progress in Krishna consciousness. And the husband should do the same. Sri Bhaktivedanta Maharaj says, look at the wife as a gift from Krishna, and the wife should also look at the husband as a gift from Krishna. And therefore, they are using themselves as gifts to help to grow in Krishna consciousness. So, the material type wife who is not interested in Krishna consciousness, that's the one that Sri Kavi is talking about. That you give up. If the spouse is that way, then either you try to get that spouse to be Krishna conscious by preaching to him or her, or being an example of Krishna consciousness to him or her, that is the way to go. Outside of that, that person is a waste of your time, quite frankly. if they're not interested in Christian consciousness, you don't really have a meaning. And this may be sound a little shock to some people, but the thing is, the wife is to help the husband to grow. The husband is to help the wife to grow. And if there is a spouse that doesn't want to get involved in Christian consciousness and doesn't care at all about Christian consciousness, especially if they are inimical, opposing the Christian consciousness, then that person is not going to help you when you're with them. So this is why Sri Kavi is saying, give up attachment to such a person. Give up attachment to family is, again, for the same reason. The family is all materialistic. As we say in Vaishnava life, our greatest family is the family of devotees. That is the real family. If our material family is a family of devotees, wonderful. But then devotion is around the house, and the devotion is around the temples, the devotion is around everywhere that devotees are there. But if they're not like that, then the devotee should consider the material family as secondary to the spiritual family. Material life just ends with death. We might as well face it. It ends with death. Spiritual life is life that we lead now, and when we leave our bodies, it goes on. Because the soul is now free to act fully in Krishna consciousness without any impediments from the body. So the devotee's life is a continuation of spiritual life, whether they're in the spiritual body only, the soul, or whether they're engaged in the material body. If they're practicing Krishna consciousness, then it's a continuation. Whereas a non-Krishna conscious person is continuing with karma, and they're not leaving the material world either, which is a prison house. That is the distinction. And that's why common sense tells us, or intelligence tells us, Sri Kavi said, an intelligent person, intelligence tells us that we should be concerned with Krishna consciousness. And in our material life, we should live it such that we dovetail, directly or indirectly, everything that we do to Krishna consciousness. So, Sri Kavi also says, this person should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe his transcendental birth and activities, which he performs within this world for the salvation of conditioned souls. Therefore, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada begins first by focusing on the word Loke. Okay, Loka is a planet or a place. So he begins by saying, Srila Prabhupada says, since the holy names, forms, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are unlimited, no one can hear and chant about all of them. So he says the holy names are unlimited. So the word Loke, indicates that one should chant the holy names of the Lord that are well known on the planet that they are. We are on the earth, and Srila Prabhupada makes this, Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, they're very famous. We chant others, we chant Gauranga and so on, but many people know about Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. And the books Bhagavad Gita and Ramayana also. They are released all over the world. You know, we have videos of them, movies of them, and so on. Lord Chaitanya's name is also gradually becoming popular in the world. And he predicted that that would happen. So, he's saying, this is why, this is why in the Hare Krishna movement, we are emphasizing the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Along with the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadarha Shiva Shari Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Now, that Panchatattva Maha Mantra is extremely potent, and there is so much mercy built in. Because this is the Lord come as a devotee, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and his eternal associates, Lord Balaram as Nityananda, Advaita Charja, Mahavishnu, Kadarha, it goes Sivas, all of them, and Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, the followers of Lord Gauranga, means the devotees. So this is why, and probably all of us know it, but I'll still say it anyway because this is being recorded, that when we chant japa and we get to the end of one round, that we chant the Panchatattva Mahamantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasari, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So that is a way of purifying the japa that we said in that particular round that we chanted. Sometimes our mind roams. For majority of people, their minds do in fact roam when they're chanting. And that is important to note and try to fix. When we, Sri Prabhupada says, when we focus our senses on Krishna, then the mind doesn't roam so much. Therefore, a picture of the Lord, Sri Sri Radha, Krishna, just writing the mantra on a piece of paper and looking at it, focusing on it, different ways, of course, chanting out loud so that the ear can also hear it, involving more of the senses while doing japa, keeps the mind focused on the holy name. And that's where the potency comes from. When we pay greater attention, then the effect of the holy name is actually more pronounced. So Srila Prabhupada says, this is very much connected to the next thing we're going to talk about. According to Srila Swami, the blissful process of chanting the holy names of the Lord without any material conception is called Sugama Margam, a very enjoyable path. Now, we all know that since music helps us when we're chanting Nam Sankirtan in association with devotees, it is easier to be all excited about chanting when we chant in Kirtan, Bhajan in Kirtan. When it comes to japa, that's another story. Because that doesn't go with any music, no mudanga, no kartals, no harmonium. We are chanting the holy names of the Lord. Srila Swami is saying, it's a blissful process. So how is it blissful? We're not talking about kirtan, we're talking about japa. Japa is a meditative way of chanting. But japa is blissful, or gradually becomes blissful, the more attention we pay to the holy name. When our minds do not roam so much, japa becomes also a very blissful process. Krishna's name is sweet. Therefore, if it is spoken or if it's sung, doesn't make any difference. The sweetness is still there. So the reason sometimes we find it difficult to relish the chanting of the holy name in japa is because our minds roam so much. That's one. And secondly, we are offensive. Offensive devotees, those who commit aparads, never relish the name in japa. It doesn't happen. It won't happen. Krishna says, Ye yatama pavadyante tam stajava vajamyaham. To the extent that we surrender to the process, then he rewards accordingly. The reward is mostly purification of our challenges and also revealing himself, his sweetness, in many ways, as he likes, when he likes. But it's aparad that stops it, and inattentive chanting that stops it. So we have to be careful not to be offensive. Similarly, this is back to the purport. Lord Krishna has described the bhakti process as Shushukam Kartum, very joyfully performed. And Srila Lochana Das Thakur has sung Sabha Avatar Sara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process for worshipping Krishna is Kevala Ananda Kanda, simply joyful. So chanting japa can be joyful when we serve, and we're adding more to this now, not just only chanting with attention and also not being offensive, but when we're serving, doing other forms of devotional service, we should serve without holding back. It's not like, because Maya is always suggesting negative things to us in Krishna consciousness, negative things. Don't do this, or compromise this way, or just do this and stop and so on. when you know there's more to do, when you know you could do better, we definitely have to do better. We definitely have to be more intense in our service. So we serve without holding back. And we go all out to serve devotees. When devotees have needs and we can fulfill the needs, we should try to the extent that we can. And I mean to a large extent, not just to a small extent. If you just could do more and you do little, then you're holding back. And Krishna takes note of that. And that's not to our advantage. It won't help us. So if we go all out to serve devotees, that's showing love for devotees. And this is how we begin to love devotees, and from that begin to love Guru, and from that begin to love Krishna. So it works like that. Service to devotees develops love for devotees and good relationship between devotees. Then from that, we appreciate Guru's position and begin to work in service to Guru. That is, Guru's mission becomes our life and soul, the way Srila Prabhupada did it. Very first day that he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, his Guru Maharaj to be, because he wasn't initiated at the time, first time meeting him, Abhay Babu, you are an educated person. Spread the holy names of the Lord in the West. Even though he initially resisted and said, well, Gandhi's movement is what's important now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process cannot wait. Not for politics. Spread the holy name of the Lord. He said, the politics will remain even though the politicians may go. The politicians may change. It didn't take Abhay Babu, Srila Prabhupada, that long to find out when he saw that Indian police were beating up Indian people. Then he realized it's not just the British that are oppressing us. In his mind, he realized some people have been indoctrinated to also go by the same way that the British are doing. And now Indian Bali people are beating other Indians. So the point was made to him, Krishna showed him that his Guru Maharaj's statement was in fact what he should be about. And though he started, he also said, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, when you get money, print books. Don't we all know what he did? Book distribution is all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada made Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's statement his life and soul. This is how one becomes successful in Krishna consciousness. When the Guru says do this, or you're hearing the Guru and you know what the Guru is interested in pushing, in Krishna, the part of Krishna consciousness is pushing, and you become a part of it, or when he gives you direct instruction and you follow that and do it, then you grow in Krishna consciousness. Yashat Pashan, Bhagavad Prasad. The Prabhupada, I know by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna, by mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, that is true. But see, the Prabhupada has also interpreted the same Yashat Prasad, Bhagavad Prasad means when Guru is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Therefore, we should please Guru. But Guru says, please the devotees, serve the devotees. So we serve the devotees, then Guru is pleased, then we serve his mission, and he is pleased, then Krishna is pleased with us. And when he's pleased, he helps us by purifying us, and he also reveals himself. And then the chanting of the name becomes very, very sweet. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now, spiritual life and material sense gratification don't go together. So, Narottam Das Thakur, as Srila Prabhupada quotes him here, has said, Vishaya Chadiya. One must give up material sense gratification. If one indulges in material sense gratification, surely he will be in the bodily concept of life. Actually, the truth is, material sense gratification robs us, it steals away from us, the bliss of spiritual life. The sweetness of spiritual life is never experienced by a person who is still attached to sense gratification. That's what we're saying here. So sense gratification has to go. It doesn't matter what it is, what type of sense gratification. We should, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, if our minds are going there, suggesting something with sense gratification, we should beat the mind. Beat the mind with the broom, Beat the mind with your shoe, morning and evening. Don't allow the mind to get into sense gratification. If there's a sense gratification activity that we're still challenged and not able to get away from, we should serve more with our hearts, increase the quality of our service, our devotional service. And also, one of the 9 processes is vandanam, prayer. We should really sincerely beg, not just pray, beg. The Guru Maharaj says we have to beg, you have to cry to Krishna, cry to Guru. Please help me out of this. If you're embarrassed, go in the room, close the door, nobody's leaving you, or maybe everybody's gone away from the house and you're by yourself. Cry, cry, and cry pitiably to the Lord to help you. My spiritual master, he used to do that, he would tell us, but he wouldn't cry at where he was at because devotees come to see him. So in Giranagri, Bhakti Tera Maharaj, he would walk in the woods, and that is when he started crying. A few of us, he actually revealed to us that he was doing that. And I remember, you know, he didn't have boots. I had boots. I was living with him. So he would take my boots and tie them up. And the devotee said, oh, you got the mercy. You got the mercy when your guru is using your boots. Anyway, that's besides the point. Then he would go in the woods and he would pray and cry and walk about 3 miles in the woods before he comes back. So he was doing that. Of course, being the devotee, the level devotee that he was crying most of the time because he was missing the spiritual world. That he also said it, you know, to a few of us. To Prabhupada, those who were working close with him also, serving him, he also mentioned that. Before he left his body, he said he wanted to go back. So after a while, you know, it gets to the pure devotee. What kind of life is it here? Material world is a morbid place, but we're trying to adjust to it, and they're trying to tell us we should leave. And they, of course, they want to leave also. So material sense gratification doesn't work. It doesn't make devotion work. It robs us of the sweetness. So we need to stay away from that. One must accept Lord Krishna as he presents himself in the Bhagavad Gita. He is the ultimate. He states that he alone is Purushottam, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that his transcendental form is eternal. So that we have to understand. So Srila Prabhupada also saying that some people are thinking Krishna consciousness followers, devotees, they are mindless, they are fanatical, you know, they're crazy, they talk about death, and never mind the way they dress, and all of that. Of course, if you look at it materially, you might think the devotees are crazy. Actually, my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Tera Swami, he says, yes, devotees are crazy. Devotees are crazy. But it's a question of crazy about what? Devotees are crazy, but they're crazy about Krishna. And that is good craziness. Because everything else in the material world is crazy. It's horrible craziness. So that means our minds are very, very much fixed by the mercy of the Parampara on Radha and Krishna. And the activities are wonderful and blissful. So we are crazy in a good way because we are connected with, by the mercy of Guru, connected with Radha Krishna. Now, we don't do things just whimsically. There's also the system of checks and balance. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So a Sadhu should behave according to the instructions of a bona fide Guru. And Guru also behaves based on what the Shastra says to do. Therefore, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra should all be consistent. When that is there, then we are, as devotees, we are confident that we're following the path without any deviation. Now, speaking about that, Gurus, as I mentioned Gurus in ISKCON particularly, they are checked. There's a checking system. By the GBC, Srila Prabhupada has put it in place about being bona fide. If a guru is not practicing according to what is supposed to be done, then that person does not remain guru. As we know, some of our gurus have left, unfortunate as it is, but we've had to. And so there's always checks and balances. Therefore, if one gets initiated by a guru under Srila Prabhupada, an ISKCON guru, they can be sure that they are with a bona fide guru. We don't have to sweat that. We don't have to, that is, we don't have to, sweat means we don't have to be concerned, worried about, am I with a bona fide guru? No, the system itself, set up by Srila Prabhupada, makes sure that the guru is that way. And if you're not bona fide, then you're not going to remain guru for long. And that will come up. So we can confidently accept a guru. So, Srila Prabhupada says, this is how hearing the Lord's pastimes will be completely successful, and chanting about the Lord's names will be successful. How? He says, if one accepts a bona fide spiritual master and follows the example of the great saintly person, the sadhu, and becomes conversant with the authorized literature such as Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, then one's program of chanting the holy names and also hearing the Lord's pastimes, that will be successful. So that's what we should do. Accept a bona fide spiritual master. And for us, it's very simple in ISKCON Guru that we are connected with or feel happy about, like to hear from, or other things about him excites us. We take shelter of that particular guru. That is still, you know, the same parampara, because from that guru, the next is Srila Prabhupada himself. So that's the parampara. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and on and on and on. To Lord Balaram, or Lord Nityananda, the original guru. So, accepting bona fide spiritual master, following the example of great saintly persons. Well, how do you do that? You have to hear. The examples of great saintly persons are talked about in the authorized literature. You can read and also hear. So once we get to know that, we're constantly reading and hearing, and the word is constantly, we should hear every day. Hearing and reading are in the same category. If you can't read, then at least you should be hearing. But you should hear lectures every day. Every day. And follow what it says. Better than hearing is hearing and taking notes of it. So you can read over your notes to remind yourself of what the lecture has talked about, what the important things to pick up have been picked up in the lecture, and then you practice it. And when we do that, we definitely are going to grow and get more excited about Krishna consciousness. So it is important that we pay attention to these things that Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport. He continues, one should not misinterpret the word vicharit. About wondering, because I know, or we heard that Sri Kavi is saying that we should wander everywhere without embarrassment, chanting and hearing the names of the Lord. One should wander does not mean that while chanting the holy names of Krishna, we may go anywhere or engage in any activity without discrimination. And this is where Sri Prabhupada qualifies. Yes, we may wander freely. In other words, we're free to wander, but at the same time, we should be careful to avoid the association of those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness or who are engaged in sinful life. Those will not help us. That's Maya's agents, or people who have freely decided to be in Maya's camp. They don't help us in Krishna consciousness. So we may be wandering freely, but not being among those who are engaged in sinful life. Lord Chaitanya says, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 2287, Asat Sangha Tyaga, Evaishnava Acharya, Sri Sangi Eka Ashadu, Krishna Bhaktara. A Vaishnava should always avoid the association of ordinary people. Common people are very much materially attached, especially to women, especially those of the opposite gender. Vaishnavas should avoid the company who are not of those who are not devotees of Lord Krishna. Should avoid the company. Some of us work, and we work with co-workers who are not Vaishnavas. We should be careful to stay with just working with them and not so much socializing with them. If we have to talk with them, you give the association, which means you determine more what is said. Outside of work, work discussions, then you just have discussion, steer the conversation so that it is in fact Krishna consciousness, even if you don't mention Krishna's name. but mention the name of God, then you should still be giving the kind of information that will be helpful to them. You give your association rather than take it. Because if you take the association, if you take from them what they're saying, that usually it's a little lower than, or sometimes a lot lower than the kind of information you get from Krishna consciousness. So you can bless them and show them mercy by, in fact, taking more charge of the conversation and directing it towards God consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada also defines a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is known by his complete avoidance of all mundane association. So when a person is traveling and chanting, if a Vaishnava finds a submissive non-devotee who is willing to hear about Krishna, then the preacher will give his merciful association to such a person. But a Vaishnava should strictly avoid those who are not interested in hearing about Krishna. The only thing we should do, we can do for such a person, if they won't hear or they are offensive, at least you can give them a snack that's prasad or mahaprasad, something that they would be interested in eating, because people like to eat. And that way we bless them, without them knowing that we have blessed them. So, finally, Srila Prabhupada says, the eternal appearance and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it never contradicts the concept of transcendental knowledge. Advayan Gyana. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was commenting before that Krishna consciousness is non-dual. There's no duality that is good and bad. Krishna consciousness is absolute. So the appearance of Krishna and Krishna's associates, the pastimes, they are all absolute. There is no right or wrong with it. It's just the way it is. So we were saying earlier, spread the mercy for those who want to take the Krishna who don't want to take the Krishna consciousness this lifetime. We are fortunate that by the causeless mercy of Krishna and Guru, we are actually involved in Krishna consciousness at this time. But then we can spread the mercy to those who don't want to take the Krishna consciousness. Very simple things we can do. It's a few things here, about four things listed. First, be kind to them. Be kind to them. It is on us to be kind to them, because even if they don't take the Krishna consciousness, one thing doesn't change. They still have the super soul in their hearts. The Lord is in their hearts. Therefore, the Lord notices everything that we do to them or for them. So being kind to them makes them feel good, and it also adds to our spiritual credit. So we always should be kind to them. One of the things we should not do is don't criticize them. To find nice ways of bringing up a point, even if something needs to be changed in their character or their behavior or something they're doing, still it has to be said with nice, palatable words rather than harsh words that are criticizing. Because what happens is, if we criticize non-devotees, then they won't like us. And if they don't like us, then they don't like what we stand for. And we stand for Krishna consciousness. And so if they don't like us, then they will not come to Krishna. And I know this has actually happened one time. I won't mention names, but it happened here in the Harrisburg Yatra by a Mataji who had her daughter taking dance classes. So there was this dance person, the person that was showing dance, he was actually Hindu, but he was not Krishna conscious. So he goes by the different demigods. And so she was a dance teacher, and this Mataji is a devotee. And the child obviously comes to the temple. But there was something going on about the dance classes that the dance teacher was not happy about. And she expressed it, and unfortunately, the devotee Mataji fired back at the dance teacher. Now, we happen to know this dance teacher very well. This is a true story. Fired back at the dance teacher, and my wife and I were trying to calm her down, the dance teacher down, because our daughter also dances the same dance teacher. Not because of our daughter, but the fact is, we were embarrassed that, you know, a devotee is handling the matter like this. But The thing is, we couldn't stop the devotee Maharaj. It became a bitter, you know, negative energy between the two of them. And finally, the dance teacher asked the daughter to go. She's literally kicked her out of the class. Now, we would very much, this dance teacher is a Hindu. And this is as close to Krishna consciousness as you get. She already knows about Krishna. But how do you get this particular dance teacher to come to the temple when that Maharaj is still there? Okay, and the dance teacher knows that she is there. So now there is a block. We can't get her to come. She's a good friend of ours now, the dance teacher. We actually help her sometimes in the things, the functions that she sets up. Sometimes, you know, showing a dance concert and stuff. I do some of the recording for her. My wife's in the backstage helping. And so she's very, very favorable to us, and she's grateful for the kind of help we give. But we can't get her to go to the temple because of this, what's happened. Only because it was handled in a negative way by the devotee Maharaj. And so I feel very bad about it. What can I do? So we have to be careful. So when we're dealing with situations that the person is not comfortable, how we approach it is extremely important. Because if you approach it nicely, it would have been easier for us to just nudge this particular guru, dance teacher to come to the temple. But now we can't do it. So it's actually more serious than we think. Anyway, so be kind to non-devotees, don't criticize them, and of course preach when the opportunity presents itself. I remember a young Mataji in, used to be a Girinagri, and she moved to Alachua. And she deliberately, when she goes into town, she's African American body, she's wearing tilak. And many, many times when she talks to people, they get up, and she wears, I mean, really, really, really prominent tilak. She uses a lot of the clay quite well, so you can see it. As soon as you see her face, the tilak is right there. And people ask her, what is this about? And as soon as you do that, she takes this as the opportunity to preach. And she's been doing that for a while. And so, everywhere she goes, if she gets, you know, somebody is curious and wants to know about the tilak on her face, that is the opportunity, and she speaks very nicely and very softly. And people tend to listen to her, and next thing she knows, she's injected some Krishna consciousness into that person. So preach when the opportunity presents itself. And give prasadam to people and other living entities. This is an important point we're going to talk about. Give prasadam, that's in the nectar of instruction. Give prasadam, six exchanges of love is one of them. Give prasadam, receive prasadam, give gifts, receive gifts, open your mind and talk about Krishna consciousness and other things in confidence, and also receive confidential information. So those are six exchanges of love. Now, we know that we can give prasadam to someone if they're willing to eat, they're hungry, or if they're not so hungry, even a snack. Something they with a snack, that's still prasadam. They would eat it, and prasadam has a very, very, very potent result for that person. If they were supposed to go into an animal body next life, prasadam would check that. They will still be born in a human body next life and get an opportunity to meet devotees. In other words, once a person takes prasadam, their spiritual life has begun, whether they know it or not. It's just a matter of time. Only a matter of time that it will come out, whether they'll be more favorable in that lifetime to Krishna consciousness or the next life. They will not go into a non-human body, even if the karma is such that they are supposed to. The shadow stops that. Now, speaking about that, we said giving that to human beings. What about other living entities? And we're talking this time about non-human living entities. The animals, the insects, the trees, and so on. Can we give prasadam to them? The answer is yes. Sometimes we don't think to do that, but the answer is absolutely yes. And I checked with one of the gurus in ISKCON. I asked that question. In fact, the two of them that I asked. A couple of weeks ago, I asked another guru that was visiting Harrisburg the same question. If a non-human living entity takes prasadam, what is the benefit? And he said, that particular living entity who is non-human will take birth as a human in the next life, the very next life. And Krishna would arrange for him to start him or her, whatever gender it comes, to start Krishna consciousness. So that is the power of prasadam. We eat prasadam all the time, but living entities that are outside of our houses don't get prasadam. So now that the weather is warm, sometimes in a non-conspicuous way, that is not so obvious way, we can take a small quantity of the prasadam and put it outside. It doesn't have to be right in front of our door, because you don't want to invite ants to your door. But you can go a little distance and put it in a corner somewhere. The ants will find it. This is their job. Well, make hay while the sun shines. That's the ants' program. When the sun is out there, it will come out. It's warm, it will come out. Living entities, not only ants, other living entities may find, they may eat it. Any of these living entities that are non-human that comes in contact with that prasadam is going to be born as a human next life. This is how powerful it is. Now, what about the plants and what about the trees? When they don't eat halava, they don't eat potatoes, they don't eat all kinds of things. No, those things they don't eat. Not plants. But there's also something on our plate. When we serve, we offer Goga to Krishna. That is food for the plants, and that is the water. So the maha water, if we take a little bit of that and pour it in the plants in our house, and the plants outside our house, and even the grass, every living entity in the plant type body that takes the water, because that's food for them, also get born as a human next life. It's that powerful. So this is all, and I'm not saying it just to say, I checked it with two gurus and they both confirmed, yes, any living entity that gets prasadam, we already know that when you chant outside, the hearing of the holy name benefits them. But when a living entity does in fact take prasadam, maha prasadam, he's going to be born as a human. And normally a tree is just above the aquatics. Those in the water. Next life is tree life. From aquatics is tree life. Then insect life. Then bird life. Then animal life. Before human life. So imagine a tree that far down, that without prasadam, they're going to be going from tree life to an insect life to a bird life to an animal life before they become a human being. And now you've given them water and they jump from a tree directly to a human being. How merciful is that? So we really can do things like these, even though it's there, we're not aware of it, but I want to always think out of the box and say, how can we help? Because the more help we give to other living entities, the more Krishna is pleased with us. Our growth in Krishna consciousness has to do with how much kindness we show to others, how much Krishna consciousness we give to other living entities. So not only human beings should we give prasadam to, but we should add to other non-human beings also, little by little. And we will in fact help so many beings that way. Krishna wants everybody to go back to the spiritual world more than we want to go. So if we take these other ways too and spread the mercy even more, then Krishna will be happy with us, and we ourselves will improve in our Krishna consciousness, because as Krishna says, the more we surrender, the more we help, the more he also rewards accordingly. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. I'll read the text again and then open up for questions or comments. So Sri Kavi is saying, an intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear should give up all attachment to material objects such as wife, family, and nation, and should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, the bearer of the chariot wheel. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe his transcendental birth and activities, which he performs within this world for the salvation of the conditioned souls. Thus, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. So now, Shyamasika Mataji, if you could have devotees unmute their phones. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for this interview.
Krishna's mercy.
If you have any question or comment.
So any comments or questions?
Hare
Hare Krishna. Accept my embrace. Accept my embrace.
Very nice, excellent class, Hare Krishna. Very nicely you have explained. An easy way to this advance virtually. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, my Guru Maharaj's mercy, I'm just an instrument being used for this. Hare Krishna. So I thank you on their behalf. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna,
Jai.
Such a powerful lecture.
Oh, Krishna's mercy. Yes, that's good.
I also have a big family which is not, following.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen that, chanting is sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe we can get some at the home and also give prasadam to the family.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that is all you can do, especially when, the family members are not, there in lecture. Or sometimes we can play some YouTube, where Srila Prabhupada's, there is some lecture there or like that.
Oh, yes.
And I always have one thing in mind that, somehow I came to Krishna consciousness. These people were before, so they all some form of a glue there in my life because the whole thing culminated together for me to come into Krishna consciousness some years back.
Mm-hmm.
So, Prabhuji, is there any other than, when they're not ready to listen or they don't accept Krishna as the king because of whatever conditioning,
now, first of all, before we answer the question, you gotta be aware that a devotee's aim is Krishna Prema, love of God. Now, loving is not something you can pressure somebody to do. So, even though now they may not be as interested as you are in Krishna consciousness, the one thing that's good about the human body is we have a subconscious mind. And the subconscious programs or takes in everything that we see or hear. That's why there are billboards around. It seems like, oh, we're driving, we're ignoring the billboards. And it says, but the subconscious takes it in. So you go to the store and there are so many brands of something you want. The one on the billboard is the one that you're going to take. Because you saw the billboard even though you thought you weren't paying attention to it, but the subconscious registers it. So in the same way, you might think it hasn't had as much of an effect because you are not seeing them change the Krishna consciousness. But their subconscious is registering everything that you do, all the hearing that you do. They also hear some of it, even though they don't sound interested. The subconscious, they have no choice. It picks it up. It picks everything up. And in the end, it will, in fact, have influence on them, either this lifetime or another lifetime. So you can still go on. You have to be kind to them, especially people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. Because if you change your mood to them, especially the adults, children, you can correct. You can correct sometimes, strictly. But those who are a little older, that Sri Papa says 15, when you go about 15 years old, then the kindness is important. You have to show kindness to them because, you see, they have to know you as a good person, as a nice person, as a helpful person. Because you're connected with Krishna consciousness. And if they see you in that light, in that way, then they will also connect to Krishna consciousness. If you're involved in Krishna consciousness and you're like that, then Krishna consciousness must be good. Well, we're not interested in doing it now because there's too much renunciation in it and not sense gratification in it, because of course they don't want to open up and get Krishna's real bliss that comes from the soul. They're not ready for that yet. Now, still, if you're being a good example, they will in fact benefit from it. So a lot has to do with your own behavior around them. And the other thing you can add to it is in conversation with them. Whenever they mention something to you, you respond by relating some Krishna consciousness activity to it. You're responding to them, but you're bringing in God's mercy at the same time. Sanatana Goswami did this when he moved to Vrindavan. First, he was going around, he wanted to preach to them, but he wouldn't start preaching. He heard more about what they were going through. Your daughter, okay, have you found this a nice boy for your daughter? Your cows, how are they doing? Those kind of things, you know, material things around the house. And then he got more confident in him, and he's extremely intelligent. So then they'll bring him their problems, they'll describe it, and then he will answer it, give some advice, and then he injects Krishna consciousness. But you see, they had good trust in him, they liked him, therefore they listened. So it's always, even if it's material thing, yes, listen to the material thing, give good advice, but also every now and then you can interject some Krishna consciousness into them. And you already have made sure they've had prasadam. So they're already blessed in that way. And if they don't take the Krishna consciousness now, they will take the Krishna consciousness. You've done your part. Just be a good example. And, you know, indirectly bring Krishna consciousness into your discussion, especially when you something that they are interested in, like that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Swamiji. It really helps because, you know, I just was sharing this sometime back, you know, on the conference call with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She was seeing a change in my nature. So she picked it up. She was like, my mother used to sometimes get very angry, you know, and her temperament was like, I was being just, and when she started chanting, you know, she could see these and that's how it's going away.
No, it's just the mind. The mind itself.
For example, sometimes, you know, they say that suppose somebody says something bad to me. So, you know, like, it's okay, you're saying it to me, but, you know, my heart, my asthma, my parvata is not accepting it. Like, sometimes the relationship is strong by saying that okay. You're saying it's bad thing to me, that is okay. I mean, you're saying it to the body, but, you know, I don't want to take all these things inside myself and
The intelligence is always there, and intelligence is the one that categorizes everything that comes to the mind. Is this good for us? Is this not good for us? You know, the mind just basically accepts and says, okay, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. The reasoning behind accepting or rejecting, that comes from the intelligence. As far as the subconscious, I'm not speaking of from Shastra, I'm speaking about it from science, that our mind has the conscious mind and also the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is actually, they say, is the bigger part of the mind. And it soaks in all kinds of things, including what's happened in our previous lives. That's all in the subconscious. So it's just a big, it's not a question of whether the intelligence accepts or not. It just kicks in. That it's like a storehouse, big storehouse. That's all the role that it plays. And a good part of our dreams of previous lives, what happened to us, is also from the subconscious coming out, you know, playing it in the picture like that when we sleep. So that part of it is there. The mind is the conscious and subconscious for the mind. And then, of course, the intelligence is the one that decides this is good, this is not good, based on what we want to do. Whereas the subconscious is just a storehouse of what we're seeing now and everything we've done in our previous lives. So that's the way it is. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's very encouraging, and we just continue with our exercise, you know, like the subconscious mind kind of spoken. We should not stop us.
No.
From doing more than chanting and prasadam for the family and friends. You know?
Yeah.
Because
this...
sometimes you feel you're doing chanting and prasadam, but somehow, I don't know, even if in 6 months the same thing, they're not getting affected, so what extra should I do? Then I should just keep going on, take them to the temple and, you know, Rath Yatra, and bring it.
You keep going on.
I feel that, you know, somehow I'm not able to draw a book distribution, but I try to concentrate on, like, you know, it's like Dharadeko, Krishna Upadesha. I have to take this as a context where Lord Chaitanya mentioned, wherever you are, whoever you're in touch with, even if you're going to, say, some place where, like, I went to the post office the other day, and I gave this brochure to the person who was, I was picking up some stamps. So, I just had a friendly talk with him, like,
keep going. Yeah, you keep going and you be a good example yourself. Overall, more of goodness.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So any other comments or questions? Unfortunately, I didn't hear the question so well. I know you heard it, what is your advice, but I couldn't hear from my phone so well. So if you can repeat, or somebody that heard it clearly can repeat it.
What is your advice for
sense gratification? For
sense gratification?
Okay, alright. Now, there are two stages. Sense gratification, we know we have to give it up. And many times, it's difficult to give up some of the sense gratification. Some things, it's easy, or some things we've already been living in such a way that we're told, okay, somebody may be vegetarian before they came to Krishna consciousness, so don't eat meat there. Well, they've already been doing it. But it starts first with being excited and being very, very sure about Krishna consciousness. See, you have to say Krishna consciousness is important enough to me that they say I shouldn't do this, so I should stop it. Now, I know the desire is there. But when we start by making a conscious effort, because there is so much more to gain. I mean, we're going back to the spiritual world now. Life is wonderful. So there's so much more to gain. So let me give this up. Because Krishna doesn't, you know, want to give spiritual and then material too. They don't go together. You just leave one and go to the other. So then you make a conscious effort to stop, and one of the things that helped in stopping, and I know Mother Kalini advised this, and Sri Papa literally lived like that, is to have your day mapped out, written out, programmed out. And today, this time I do this, this time I do this, I get up this time, then I chant my rounds, or I take a shower, I chant my rounds, then I go to this, and I go to that, and I go to that. And then, once you finish all of that, and you stick to it, of course, you don't program any Maya into it. Therefore, by sticking to the program, a lot of the things that are difficult, in the sense gratification, are difficult for spiritual life, will fall aside. Only because all you have to do is just stay with the program that you yourself have set up, your day. Okay? And that, because the thing is, if you leave to do things at any other time, then Maya has more influence. But a person who has programmed themselves, Maya has much less influence. So that's how it starts. And yes, the desire is there. But then when we, the sinful desire is still there. Sense gratification desire is still there at that time. Even though you program yourself so you don't do it. Now, spend more time hearing and reading. Because from that comes the advice. Krishna arranges, if we open up to hearing, arranges for the things that we need to do to improve our spiritual life to be said to us or to be read. That's the power of hearing. As Srila Prabhupada says, the first thing we should do is hear. The most important thing to do is to chant, but the first thing to do is to hear, because that's where we get the guidance. So that's there, okay, hearing every day. Program it into your day. You hear every day. Hear a lecture. Go to ISKCON Desire Tree, there's plenty of lectures are there. Audio, the part of it, it's there. So many sannyasis, so many prabhus, so many matajis with lectures there. So you hear, or hear from Srila Prabhupada, it's also recorded there. So you can hear, and hearing and going by what, doing the things that you heard, take notes and do it. Make it a part of your life. Program it into your life and do it. Then what's happening is you are replacing the lower, which is sense gratification, with the higher. Param disvanirvatite. So you program it that way. So you start by programming. Every day, this time I do this. And go by that particular schedule. If you go by the schedule, of course you're not going to schedule Maya into it, Maya activities into it. Therefore, you won't do much Maya activities, only because you're going by the program. And then from serving devotees from your heart and doing some of the things that we talked about, especially the non-living entities, non-human entities, giving prasad the way we talked about, that kind of mercy and helping devotees that need help, putting yourself out that way, helping, even contributing financially, all of that. More things that you want to do to serve devotees and living entities in general, then Krishna becomes pleased with you, and that's how the sinful desire gets removed. You can't remove it by yourself. You have to please the devotees more, and that pleases Guru, and pleases Guru means it pleases Krishna. Then Krishna removes the sinful desire that's still there. It comes from opening up and doing services from your heart. That's how it goes away. You can't kick it away. But Krishna will give you reason as long as you open your heart to serve more. That's how it goes away. Hare Krishna. So I hope this helps. Any other comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Shyamasika Mataji, are you there?
Yes,
oh, okay. I wanted to be sure somebody can hear me. Alright. Hare Krishna, Jai. Yours is Srila Prabhupada. Yours is Guru
Maharaj. Thank you so much for this event.
Hare Krishna. Thanks for telling me. Vaishnava Thakur ki jai. Thanks you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai. Jai Shri Prabhupada.